Amen, amen. Everybody just clap. Come on, worship Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the band that you guys are just worshiping and leading us and setting us up. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Man, I love the bass. Look good. Look good. Oh, my gosh. Isn't it good to come home sometimes to worship Jesus together as a family? There's all this world and all these things that are happening, but we can come here freely to worship God together as a family. Thank you, band, for setting that up. You set my heart up, and hopefully they're setting your heart up to hear a word from God. How many of you guys lost power this week? You guys lose some power this week? Anybody still off? Anybody still off? Wolfie, still off? Oh, man. Well, hopefully we get your power on today. It can be very inconveniencing when we lose all power. But anyway, today, go ahead and turn into Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. We're going to start right here. And it says this, "For I am confident." Everybody say confident. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." This is Paul speaking to us, and he is saying this to us, that we have to have some confidence in the work that Christ has done on the cross, in the work that he began in our heart, that it is not finished. It is not finished. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? How many of you guys would say you have struggled with confidence in your faith before? Yeah, all of us. Hopefully most of us. I know I'm not the only one up here. But all of us have had times where we've struggled with confidence in seeing God's hand in our life, especially when we've gone through some stuff and some situation. And every one of us here has definitely been through or seen some stuff. But today I want to establish us some type of confidence that God has his hand on your life, and that he's not going to leave you, and that he's not going to forsake you, and that what he did on the cross is accomplished, and he's going to do it through you. Amen? Amen? This is good stuff. But we are to have a confidence, but it can definitely be shaken. Imagine if there was a house that was going up down the street from you. It's a new build, and all the blueprints are there, and the construction crew is there, and they framed the place, they put a roof on, and then all of a sudden they just pulled out. Be like 2008 again, right? You just have like an unfinished house. But that's not God. That's not God. What he starts, he don't just leave unfinished. And so we have the confidence in what God is going to do today. And what God started at this church, he still got his hand on this place. Amen? He's still got his hand in your family. Amen. And so these are some good things of what he's saying. But God does these things in a process of phases. He develops our faith through a process of phases. And so I've titled my message today called "The Phase." Let me pray, and then we'll let the Lord do his work. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, I'm just thankful for a letter like this that Paul is preaching to us, saying that we can have confidence in you. So today, Lord, establish a confidence in us. Open up our hearts and mind to whatever you want to do. Teach us today, Lord, how to live in freedom. Teach us today, Lord, how to live in confidence, so then we can be a light into the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So when I was a kid, I went through some phases. Anybody would go through some phases before? We all go through some phases. When I was a kid in elementary, I saw this movie Grease. And so, of course, I had to get a black jacket, slick my hair back, and I went through this phase where I wanted to be in the T-Birds. Or even I went through this phase where I watched Top Gun. I had to get a bomber jacket, some aviators, and I'm walking around on first grade recess saying, "Check me out, ladies." And the image of this is, I wish I had a picture of this, but imagine my head being this big on a first grade body. It's embarrassing. And then when I get older, you know, I went to this, like, it was a boy band phase. That's so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm even sharing this with you. But these are all the phases that we go through. And to help me illustrate this, I decided to email and text some of our people in this church. And I said, "Will you send me some photos of some phases that you've gone through in your life? Whether it's style or music or whatever, hair, it doesn't matter. When you're in elementary, send me some photos." And for you that didn't answer my email, I found some. So anyway, Jason, go ahead and roll it. Let's check out this. Oh, look at this face. Oh, this is a wedding face. Anybody know who this is? This is Melissa. That's good. That's right. Boy, she looks good. Joe did well. Notice I did cut Joe out of there. The reason why I cut Joe out of there, it was a dead giveaway. He looks the same. Anyway, so do you. Next one. Oh, look at this. Look at this, the childhood face. Anybody know who this is? Who? Isn't that my mom? That is. Look at that. Look at the face, the childhood face here. Isn't that fun? Next one. Oh. The glamour phase. Isn't this good? We all know who that is. You still look the same. It was hard. I was going through pictures. Yeah, anyway, keep going. Oh, look at this. Wedding phase. Anybody know who that is? Dave and Darlene. Look at them back there. Like, oh, man. Dave, you did well. Yeah. Oh, look at this one. Who is this? Pastor Nick. This is Pastor Nick and Jazz Band. And I'll just be honest with you. This is the 60s, and I can report this is the only thing he puffed on in the 60s. Next one. Oh. Who we got here? Woo! Come on, give it up for this. Keith is a brave man. This is the 80s phase. Everybody was doing it. Actually, I want to tell you this story. Like when I was actually a kid, I went through this phase where I loved, what's his name? Kurt Cameron. And so I went to the store and there was this teen pop magazine and it was a picture of Kurt Cameron. And I was like, Mom, I want that haircut. You know what haircut he had? It was a perm mullet. And I was like, I'm going to my barber and asking for a perm mullet, right? Phases. Anyway, I don't know if we have any more. Do we have any more? Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this. Wedding phase. Who is this? This is Kathy. Kathy, you look great. Next phase. Childhood phase. Who is that?
Is that Joe?
No. Whoa, who said that? Oh, you should know who that is. This is Jason Marino. Thank you so much. This is good. All right. I think we're... Is that it? Is that it? All right. Well, anyway, we go through phases. These are some of our phases. And some of you guys, it's fun to look back at these phases. And some of you are saying, thank God you got me through that phase. Like middle school phase, you cannot pay me to go back to middle school phase. There are some crazy phases. But I want to tell you this, that God is involved in your phases. That God is interested in developing you in phases. Your spiritual life, he does it in phases. It's not like he just goes from one event to the next event, one high to the next high. No, God is developing your faith in a series of phases. And it isn't in a process that he's doing those things. And so the more that we see that, and there's some people in here that have been walking their faith for a long time and they know this journey. But God is never done with you in your phase. He is constantly moving in your phase. He is constantly teaching you and growing you in your phase. And God is more interested in your phase than your destination. He wants your destination, and he's going to get you there, but you're not always ready for that. And so he's developing you in those phases. So it's so important that we embrace the phase that God has put us in the series, in the season that God has put us in, instead of a comparison phase. Have you ever done that before? Comparison phase where you compare your life, you watch Facebook, you watch, you know, your social media and you look around and you see everybody doing this. You're like, I want to do that too. And so you start comparing your value and your worth to that. And then you start to compare like, well, God, why aren't I doing this? Or I should be over here spiritually, or my family should be doing these, and my kids should definitely be doing these. But those are the phases that God has us in. And so for some of us in here, you may have come in with this, man, God is doing some really cool phase in your life where he's just showing up and he's doing amazing things and we should be celebrating that. And that is a good thing. And then for some of us in here, maybe you're going through a phase where your marriage is tough. You guys with me? Maybe you're in a phase where just things are just like, you feel like you're button heads. And I know everybody's in a phase right now where your kids are following everything you say. But I want to be honest with you. Sometimes we're going to go through these phases in life and God is interested in them. So I'm going to tell you a story about a man by the name of Gideon. And we're going to pick the story up in Gideon chapter 6. Because Gideon is a part of the Israelites. And the Israelites are in a phase where they are in hiding. They are on the run. They are in caves. They are in crevices. They are in the dirt. They are doing everything to hide. And they're doing it for 7 years. Now, for most of us, if you've had to go through something for 7 years, it would be more than you can bear. It would be overwhelming. It would be exhausting. You would even say, God, like, did you forget about me? Like, why are we still here? How did we even get here, God? It's been 7 years in this phase, and why are these things still happening? Why am I still suffering? Why are these things occurring? But God shows up to Gideon, and he says this to Gideon. Gideon, you're a warrior. You're a mighty warrior. How cool is this that Gideon sees God sees our potential in our darkness? How cool is that? That there's times when God sees our potential when we're at our weakest. He does these things. He showed up to me when I was a 19-year-old kid in my weakness, spiritually weak. And he said, God, Caleb, here's your potential. Follow me. And so he shows up to Gideon and says, here's your potential in your weakness. And when God puts his hand and when he anoints something and when he puts his hand on your life, that other people might have plans, but God is always going to follow through. And these are good things that we need to know. And I'm going to teach you 5 things in the story of Gideon today of how God develops his confidence and his faith through phases. So we're going to look at that today. So in Judges chapter 7, it says here, 7:2, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 left while 10,000 remained. God shows up. His presence shows up. And he gives them some instructions. So here's number one that we need to know about our phases. Here it is right here. To moving in phases and how we live in phases is that we need to receive God's invitation of his presence. We need to receive God's invitation of his presence in our life. Amen? And how do we do that? Is that God is always sending out invitations. Invitations are going out left and right. Invitations are all around us. Have you guys ever received an invitation to a wedding and you forgot about it? Forgot that it was going to happen? Or maybe you sent out some invitations and you completely just like, oh, I forgot that was happening. And somebody came to you and said, did you get your invitation? Like, nope, I lost it. Like, God is always sending out invitations in our life. And he's saying, will you receive them? Did you receive that invitation? Did you receive those things that I sent out? It's like when my wife and I, we were getting ready to get married, we came together and we put together this wedding list and we got together with all of our invitations and the people. And I don't know why this is, but how's come a groom only gets 5 people and the bride gets like 300? So anyway, we get together, we put together our list and she's like, well, Caleb, you know, I need to invite another person so your mom can't come now. But here's what happens. That didn't happen. But anyway, here's what happens is that you get this envelope and then inside of envelope goes another envelope and then another envelope. And then there's an envelope with foil inside. And then you get that like little white, like little tissue paper that goes in there. And then there's this RSVP and then you stuff it all together, you lick it. And then you send it out. And by the way, nobody RSVPs. They just show up. Why don't you do that? You're the devil. But anyway, we have this thing where God is always sending out invitations and he's waiting for us to receive them. But I do believe there's a reason why we reject God's invitation, because we don't like the package. Sometimes at church, we're like, he's like, I'm giving you something, I'm sending you something, but I don't like the way it looks. That's not the way we used to do things. That's not how we've done things. And so sometimes we'll send the package back because we don't like the package. Do you know that the Hebrews rejected Jesus because he wasn't the package that they wanted either? Whoa, hello, Jesus. But this is the truth, is that we need to receive God's invitation of his presence. He wants to awaken some spirits in here. He wants to awaken some marriages in here. He wants to awaken some youth in here. And if you're experiencing a dry season today spiritually, God is saying, I want to awaken you up. I want to awaken you. I want you to experience me. My presence in your life is so much more powerful when you receive it. And so we have to open up, because when he awakens us, not only does he want to awaken us, but he also wants to participate in our lives. It's exciting when I go to summer camp and I see our students just hands up, completely surrendered to God. And they're saying, God, use me. And they're praying and they're opening up and they're just worshiping, and tears are coming down because God is awakening their spirit. This past December, when we saw 10 of our students get saved accept Jesus. How cool is that? God was awakening a spirit in them, but he doesn't just leave you there. He says, I want to participate in your life as well. So this is what he's saying to Gideon, is like, you've been in this phase, but I'm awakening you, but I also want to participate in your life and in Israel's life as well. We need to do those things. But God is sending invitations. Are we willing to receive them? A few years ago, the Lord sent an invitation out there that was pretty uncomfortable for me to receive. And my wife and I'm not supposed to go over there. Yes, maybe? Okay. But there was this invitation that was very uncomfortable. A lot of times invitations aren't, you know, we have to do something about them. And sometimes they're not convenient and they go out of our way. And sometimes we have to change our schedule to receive those things. We have to make some room. And so I'm driving back. My wife and I were driving back from Winston-Salem. We were checking out Southeastern Theological Seminary, and we're coming up, and we stopped at this restaurant called Dixie Barbecue, and I get this, like, basically a gallon of sweet tea. And so as I'm driving up, I'm getting close to Winston-Salem. I'm having this wrestle with my bladder, and I can't hold it anymore. And so I pull off to an exit, and I go up, and I see I'm in a rough area of Winston-Salem, and I pull into a BP, and the thing about this BP, this is a rough BP. So I get out of the car, lock the door. There's guys all over the place. I'm going to say it. I'm the only white guy there. It's a rough area. I obviously don't look like I belong. And so I go inside, and there's people all over the place. And then I say, where's the bathroom? They're like, well, it's outside. You got to stand in line. So as I'm standing in line, I'm standing there and I'm waiting to get the key. The old lady that's in front of me is walking out the door, and she says, you need to be very careful over here. So I literally wet my pants on spot. I did not. This head shot up. She's like, I did not. But I get the key, and I'm hoping it's a baseball bat. You know how, like, they give you a key, and then they're like, you go outside? I'm hoping it's a baseball bat, because I'm literally in the wrong place. So I go outside, and I'm turning the corner, and I got to go to the bathroom in the back. And there's a man that says, hey, he stops me, he says, hey. I know, it's scary, too, for me. He's like, what did she say to you? What did that lady say to you? I said, no, don't worry about it. I go in the bathroom, and I start praying. I was like, God, what are you doing at this moment? What are you saying at this moment? And so I start praying. And as I come out, I go back inside and I drop off the key. And I'm coming back out to get in my car. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. And so the guy approaches me. He's like, hey, I want to talk to you for just a second. I was like, oh, no. I know you saw me roll up in my Camry. I must got money. And as I'm there, he says, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm tired of living like this. I said, okay, you didn't want money? He's like, I don't want anything. He's like, I just want to talk for a minute. I was like, okay, what's your name? He says, my name's David. I said, I'm Caleb. I said, are you from this area? He's like, yeah, I've been living out here on the streets. I've been living with a bunch of guys, and we hustle and we scam people all the time. He's like, but I'm tired of this way of living. And he starts crying. He just starts crying. And I said, where's your family? He said, they're in Georgia. And I said, well, do you have anybody else other than this? He's like, no, I don't have anybody. I was like, listen, I'm just passing through. I don't know anybody in this area, but what I do have, I can give to you today. I was like, would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? And he says, I would like to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Amen. So in that spot, I take this man that I don't know. Might get jumped. I don't know. But I just take him and I grab him like a brother and I hug him and I get to pray over him. He receives Jesus Christ in that parking lot at a BP where people are walking around. God sends invitations out there. He's waiting for us to receive them, to not reject them, even if the package doesn't look the way that we want. So God comes to Gideon and the Israelites in a season, in a phase where they're like, man, why are we here? But God shows up and he says, listen, I can't use some people that I got pride and that are always going to be using pride and like saying like, hey, listen, if we win, hey, it's all about me. Look what I did. He said, I can't do that. Actually, I give you this command. I said, go ahead and shout out and tell the guys if they're scared, go ahead and go home. Go home. Go run to mom. And then leave the rest of the guys here. So we need to receive God's invitation for his presence. And then in verse 4 through 8, it says, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, then he shall not go. So Gideon took his men down to the water. There the Lord told, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog lap from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them from cup hands lapped like dogs. The rest of them kneeled down to take a drink. Check this out here. You see what God was doing? He was testing them. Watch what happens here. He says, I want you to work with the guys that are willing to get their knees down and put their head all in. There's going to be guys that are going to do this and just want a little bit of God. They want a little bit of the water. They just want a little bit of a sprinkle. And then you're going to have these guys that are going to put their face all in and commit. I want you to go after those guys that are going to commit, not the guys that are going to just do, they just want a little bit. They just want a little bit. This group wanted the whole thing. How cool is that? God wants the whole thing. He wants us to put our face in the water. He wants us to trust him and just put our face in the water and not just do this, not just put a little bit in our hand and this is it. He says, no, I want the whole thing. But here's what happens a lot of times. Sometimes this happens and it does at camp at times and it does in our life and it's happened in my life where there's times and phases in my life where my whole face is in the water and I am drinking and I'm drinking. And then all of a sudden I wipe my face off and then it turns into this at times where all of a sudden, okay, I'm just good enough with this. This is good enough. Just a little bit of the word. Just a little bit of your presence. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of your water. And then before long, I don't feel like bending over anymore. And then I'm just like, okay, every now and then. Just every now and then. And then before long, you start backing up. And you're doing this. And you're like, there's nothing putting water in your body. And you know what happens in this phase? It's where you dry out. Spiritually, we can dry out. If we're not willing to put our face all in and commit our lives and commit fully in. Some people here today, if you're like me, I've wandered in times in my life and said, this is just good enough. But God's saying, no, I want all things. I want all things. And so this is what he did, is that he separated them out. And actually, he divided the army. And this is crazy. And so point number two, this is so important in our phase, is that we trust God's intentions. So write that down, that we trust God's intentions in our life. How we respond to God matters. Like if we don't trust God's intention, that he is the best for us, and I believe that we serve an amazing God that has the best for our life, our best for our family, the best for your kids, the best for your job, the best for your future and relationships and marriage. He has the best. But we have to trust his intentions with those things, even if it don't always make sense. Just like in this story here, right here, where God divides the armies. Now, I don't know what kind of like military strategy school God went to. I'm sure this is what everybody's thinking. They're like, wait a minute, God, you're calling us to battle and you want to do what? Divide our armies? Yep, that's what I'm calling you to do. That don't make sense, God. We have to trust God's intention. Our perception of God matters. If we perceive God as a loving God, a God that gives and the God that loves and the God that fulfills, then we are going to receive God like that. And we're going to respond to God like that. And we're going to also respond to others in love. But if we perceive God as this giant ogre that is always willing, he just wants to hurt us and he wants to take everything and he just wants to pull everything back, then we're going to perceive God in fear and anxiety and worry and insecurities. And then you'll treat other people with legalism because you're like, well, God's always going to be hurting and doing all this. No, that's not God. That is not the God and the Jesus of this gospel. So we have got to trust God's intention in our life. It is so important. This is such a prep phase for some of us to, before we can move on. This is the key, is that where God is developing our character and in our faith to trust him in this phase. It's a prep phase where he is developing our faith. And so we need to be willing to do that. Otherwise, we can get stuck here and say, you know what, God, you saved me, but you know what? I don't trust your intentions, so I'm going to be back here. I'm going to be back here. I'll be good here. You be over there, I'll do here. So verses 9 through 12, it says, during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down, and against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they say. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. How often do we need somebody that's going to encourage us? Do you all have somebody that's encouraging you? I hope so, that we have people in our life that when we are facing stuff, that we have somebody that is encouraging you. He said, if you are afraid, I want you to take you and your servant and go down to this camp. And somebody down there is going to encourage you. We need some encouragers in this church. We have some encouragers in this church. And we need to continue to surround people when God is calling you to surround them with encouragement. So we need to pour that kind of stuff in here. So it's encouragement. And so let's keep going. And so here's the night that the Lord Gideon, get up and go down to the camp. If you are afraid, you'll find an encourager. So he and his servant went down to the outpost of the camp, and the Midianites and Amalekites and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sands on the seashore. So number three is that this is so important, is that we follow God's direction. Following God's direction. Following God's direction. So first is that we need to receive God's invitation for his presence. Number two, that we got to trust God's intention. Number three is that we need to follow God's, God's direction. My wife and I, we bought this puzzle back in December. And it's a 500 piece puzzle from Costco. And it's only got one instruction, right? Make it look like the picture on the cover, right? And so we laid that puzzle out there. Pieces are all over the place, and they're just laying out there. And so we're like, okay, we'll start. And we did. We went through phase where we got through a couple phases. We put probably about 250 out there. And about 2 months later, I just want to be honest with you, it's still sitting in my basement, unfinished. God is saying, keep following my directions. Your life is like that puzzle, is that we got to keep moving forward and just put one more in the place. Put one more foot in the place. Take one more step. Take one more step. Trust me. I'm going to be moving you forward. And I know that I just divided your army to only 300. And these guys weren't like army ready 300 guys. These weren't like the movie 300. These guys were just guys that were willing to come to fight. So we got to follow God's direction. So we got to make some decisions in this phase, that we have to make some room for God's agenda, not ours. Our agenda can get in the way of what God wants to do. And so far, and a lot of times in my life where I kind of planned out all these things, and then God's like, well, you can do that, but I won't bless that. You can lead that way, but I'm not going to have my hand involved. And then when I see no effect of it and no fruit of it, I'm like, God, why did that happen? He's like, well, you didn't follow my direction. My agenda versus God's agenda. This is Jesus's church or our church. He's got a plan for it. So we got to make some room. We got to follow God's direction. And when we follow God's direction, some crazy things happen. God delivers in our obedience. God delivers when we stay firm, when we commit, and we stay obedient to what God is calling us to do. When we say we're going to pick up, when we're going to keep serving, we don't just say, oh yeah, I'm just going to serve for a season and then I'm done. No, he's like, no, keep serving. When we keep serving, God starts showing direction. We put our head down and he keeps doing things just like he told David. He said, I want you to take out a giant. Do it with three stones. It's crazy, right? Tells Moses to go down by the water. Throw that staff down. Split some water here. It's crazy. But when God's direction is calling us, he's waiting for us to follow. When God's directing, he's waiting for us to follow, even if it doesn't make sense, because we serve a good God. He's an amazing God. And this is where we got to let our hands go sometimes and stop holding on always to my way or I can do it God's way. And so let's see how he responds. And so Gideon, in verses 13, it says he arrives just as the man was telling the friend his dream. I had a dream, he says. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon's son, Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into your hands. When Gideon heard the dream and the interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and he called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into his hands, dividing the 300 men into the three companies. He placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of them. So number four is that we got to accept God's impartation. God imparts him inside of you. When you're following his direction, he deposits something in your life. And you know what he deposits? When we are just, we are committed and we're serving and we're doing what he does, he deposits vision. He deposits his presence. He deposits what he wants to do. He deposits a passion in your life. Why do you think missionaries and people are like, oh, I feel called by God? He has deposited something in your heart, a passion in your heart. He is actually moving in your heart and he is depositing his vision in your heart. And this is when it's time for us to move. As a church, this is when it's time for us to move. And you see what Gideon does here is he puts trumpets and jars in their hands. Trumpets, as Nick knows, are to shout out when something royal is coming. God's royalty was about to show up. God's presence was about to show up. And they are sounding their trumpets because God's presence is about to show up. Is God's presence about to show up in your life and in your circumstances today? Do you want God's presence to show up in your life and your circumstances today? Do you want the presence of God in our life and in our church here and in our community? I do. I do. I want what God has. So we have to accept God's impartation. That's when God is moving us. And then it says finally here in verses 17 through 21, watch me, he told them, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow your shout for the Lord and for Gideon. 19, and Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp, and at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had charged the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars with their heads. Excuse me. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding the right in their right hand in the trumpets, and they blew. They shouted as swords of the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held their position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, cried, and they fled to the field. So here's what we need. Look what Gideon said. Look what he said up here. He said, follow what I do. Follow what I do. We are called to be imitators of Christ. So number five, be an imitator. Be an imitator. Be an imitation. So first point is that we need to accept God's invitation of his presence. We need to trust God's intentions in our life. Then we need to follow God's direction. Then we need to accept his impartation. And finally, we need to be imitators. Be imitators of the presence of God. That is the next step as we move through a phase. The final phase is that we are called to be imitators for all people around us. And Gideon was saying, watch what I do. Watch what I do. Watch how I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because this is what God has given me. So we are called to have the presence of God, the fruit full in the multiplying presence of God. Amen. We called to have that. Yes, amen. This Thursday, I went to go visit Billy Graham at the Capitol building. Talk about an imitator of Christ. I arrived there and I'm watching a man being carried down the steps and the family and the military guards. And I'm standing there with a bunch of strangers in the rain and everybody starts singing Amazing Grace. The presence of God was so powerful at the Capitol building. Not sure we'll see that again. Maybe. How powerful is that? Be an imitator. Billy was an imitator. We are called to be an imitators to our family and to our friends and who we work with and at our schools. It says that they fled. The presence of God was heavy on Gideon. Let's stand. Let's pray. when we are obedient, God wants to deliver. Just bring the band up here. I want to spend just a few minutes to pray. If you are here today and you just need a fresh breath of God's presence in your life and over your situation, maybe you're going through some dry season right now where you're like, I got about a million things to do and I just don't know how God is interacting. I want to pray. I want to pray over that. I want to open up some doors to you today. I want us to have some confidence in what God is doing today. We're going to open up this right here. You can hang out here and be in the rows with some people. If you want to come up here and pray, the altars are open. I want to pray with you today. If you need a touch of God's presence in your family, in your marriage, in your job, and in your kids. And for some of us today, maybe there's some sin in our life that we're just dealing with and we're not willing and we just don't have confidence. And God is saying, I want you to give it up. Do the crazy. Let go. Receive me today. Let go, receive me today. I want to pray, and if you're here today, and if that's you, and you just, we're going to close our eyes and bow our heads, and if that is you, and if you just want to receive God in some ways in His presence over your life right now, and you got some strongholds that God just wants to break free and give you some peace, just go ahead and raise your hand with us today. Just go ahead and raise your hand today if you just need the presence of God and what He's doing, because God provides peace, passion, direction, and He delivers us. If you just need Him, amen. 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 You just want the presence of God. Just raise your hand up there. Receive Him. Amen. 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 Oh, I got you. Just keep your hands up there. The cross is good. We're amongst family. We're amongst family. Amen. Amen. We're amongst family in here. God's presence is good. God's presence is good. I'm going to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray and just lift up Your presence in here. And I thank You for the worship and the time and the story of Gideon and the five ways that we can know how You are moving in our phases. Father, I just pray for those today that are asking for Your presence in their life right now to renew their confidence in You, whether it might, You know exactly what it is. So whatever it is, Lord, that You renew their confidence, that they release it back to You to the cross. Amen.